Chapter 59. Almost 2 hours later, after a shower and short nap, Pitt felt almost human again. The biting soreness from his wounds was almost bearable. He was seated at Massard's desk in a silk robe at least 2 sizes too small that he'd found in a closet containing enough clothes to open a men's store. He was probing through the drawers of the desk, studying the Frenchman's papers and files, when Giordino walked through the door, pushing a white-faced Varenne in front of him. "You two have a nice chat?" asked Pitt. "Amazing what a great conversationalist he can be in the right company," Giordino acknowledged. Varenne looked around through wild, unfocused eyes that seemed to have lost all contact with reality. He slowly moved his head from side to side as if he was clearing away a mist. He looked on the verge of a nervous breakdown. Pitt studied Varenne curiously. "What did you do to him?" he inquired of Giordino. "There isn't a mark on him." "Like I said, we had a nice chat. I spent the time describing in vivid detail how I was going to dismember him millimeter by millimeter." "That's all?" "He has a great imagination. I never had to lay a hand on him."
"Did he pinpoint Massard's island cache?"
"You had the right idea about it being owned by the French, but it's almost 5,000 kilometers northeast of Tahiti and 2,000 southwest of Mexico. Truly the back side of beyond."
"I don't know of a French island in the Pacific off Mexico."
"In 1979, France assumed direct administration of an atoll named Clipperton Island after the English pirate John Clipperton, who used it as a lair in 1705. According to Varenne, its landmass is only about 5 square kilometers with a 21-meter promontory as its highest point."
"Any inhabitants?"
Giordino shook his head. "Not unless you count a few wild pigs. Varenne says the only remnant of human activity is an abandoned lighthouse from the 18th century."
"A lighthouse."
Pitt turned the word over slowly. "Only a slick, wily pirate like Massard would think of hiding a treasure near a lighthouse on an uninhabited island in the middle of an ocean."
"Varenne claims he doesn't know the exact spot."
"Whenever Mr. Massard anchored his yacht off the island," murmured Varenne, "he always took a boat ashore alone, and only at night so no one could observe his movements."
Pitt looked at Giordino. "Think he's telling the truth?"
"I am, I swear to God," Varenne implored.
"Could be he's just a natural-born storyteller," said Giordino.
"I told the truth!"
His voice came like the pleas of a child.
"Oh, God, I don't want to be tortured. I can't stand pain!"
Giordino stared at Varenne, fox-like.
"Or then again, he might be a naturally gifted actor."
Varenne looked stricken.
"What can I do to make you believe me?"
"I'll be convinced when you inform on your boss. Supply his records, names, and dates of his victims, every filthy business deal he ever created, expose the guts of his entire rotten organization."
"I do that and he'll have me killed," Varenne croaked in a frightened whisper.
"He'll never touch you."
"Oh, yes, he can. You don't know the power he wields."
"I think I have an idea." "He won't hurt you half as much as I will," said Giordino menacingly.
Varenne sank into a chair, stared at Giordino with a sweat-moistened face, with fear-widened eyes that carried the faintest flicker of hope as he turned and trained them on Pitt. These men had stripped his chief of all dignity, of all arrogance. If there was a chance of saving his life, he knew he had to choose.
"I'll do as you ask," he moaned softly.
"Let me hear it again," Pitt demanded.
"All records and information on Massard Enterprises, I will turn them over to you for investigation."
"That includes unrecorded records on illegal and immoral activities as well."
"I will supply what isn't on paper or computerized."
There was a brief silence. Pitt stared out the window at Massard. Even at that distance, he could see the white skin had turned a deep red. He rose stiffly from behind the desk and put a hand on Giordino's shoulder.
"Al, he's your project. Extract every shred of evidence out of him you can."
Giordino put his arm around Varenne, who cringed.
"We'll have a real friendly rap session, you and I.
Work on the names of the people Massard victimized or murdered, those first."
"Any particular reason?" Giordino asked curiously.
"When the time is right for a voyage to Clipperton Island and a search proves successful, I'd like to set up an organization to use Massard's stashed wealth to pay back those he hurt and the surviving families of those he killed."
Mr. Massard will never permit that, Varenne muttered hoarsely.
Speaking of our favorite villain, said Pitt, I think he's baked in the oven long enough. The front of Massard's body looked like a shellfish after it had been broiled in a pot. Already he was in excruciating agony, his skin blistering. By the next morning it would begin to peel in huge strips. He stood there without support between Brunone and two impassive guards, motionless, his lips drawn back like a snarling dog, his reddened face contorted in rage and hate.
"You cannot do this to me and live," he hissed. "Even if I'm killed, I have devised methods to make those responsible pay."
"An avenging hit team," said Pitt dryly. "How foresighted of you. After cooking in the sun, you must be tired and thirsty. Please take a chair. I'll bring Mr. Massard a bottle of his special French mineral water." Massard very slowly eased into a soft leather chair, his face suddenly taut from agony. Settled finally in a comfortable position, he took a deep breath.
You are fools if you think you can get away with this. Kazim has ambitious officers who will quickly step into his place, men who are as vicious and cunning as he was, and who will send a force to bury you in the desert before the next sun.
He reached for the bottle of water held out to him by Giordino and swallowed its entire contents within seconds. Without being asked, Giordino handed him another. Pitt couldn't help but admire Massard's incomparable nerve. The man acted as if he was in complete control of his situation. Massard finished off the second bottle and then looked around his office for his personal secretary.
Where is Varenne?
Dead, Pitt said tersely. For the first time, Massard looked genuinely surprised.
You murdered him?
Pitt shrugged indifferently. He tried to stab Giordino here. Stupid of him to attack a man carrying a gun with a letter opener.
He did that? Massard asked warily.
I can show you the body if you like.
Not at all like Varenne. He was a coward.
Pitt exchanged glances with Giordino. Varenne had already been put to work and was under guard in an office two floors below.
I've got a proposition for you, said Pitt.
What deal could you possibly make with me? Snarled Massard.
I've had a change of heart. If you promise to mend your crooked ways, I'll let you walk from this room, board your helicopter, and leave Mali.
Is this some sort of joke?
Not at all. I've decided the sooner you're out of my hair, the better.
Surely you can't be serious, said Brunone. The man is a dangerous menace. He'll strike back at his first opportunity.
Yes, the scorpion. Is that what you're called, Massard?
The Frenchman did not answer, but sat in sullen silence.
Are you sure you know what you're doing? Asked Giordino.
There will be no argument, Pitt said harshly. I want this scum out of here, and I want him out now. Captain Brunone, escort Massard to his helicopter and see that it lifts off with him on it.
Massard rose shakily to his feet. The sunburned skin was tightening, and it was only with an agonized effort that he could stand straight. Despite the pain, he smiled. His mind was churning again.
I will require several hours to pack my things and personal records.
You have exactly 2 minutes to get off the project.
Massard swore, bitterly and vilely.
Not like this, not without my clothes. My God, man, show some decency.
What do you know about decency? Pitt said dispassionately.
Captain Brunone, get this son of a bitch out of here before I kill him myself.
Brunone didn't have to order his 2 men. He simply nodded, and they hustled the wildly cursing Yves Massard into the elevator.
No word passed between the 3 men in the office as they stood at the window and watched the humiliated mogul roughly shoved aboard his luxury helicopter. The door was closed, and the rotors began to thump the hot air. In less than 4 minutes, it had disappeared over the desert to the north.
He's heading northeast, observed Giordino.
My guess is Libya, said Brunone, and then on to hidden exile before recovering his loot.
His final destination is of no consequence, Pitt said, yawning.
You should have killed him, Brunone said, his voice sharp with disappointment.
No need to bother. He won't live out the week.
How can you say that? Asked an astonished Brunone. You let him go free. Why, the man has the resilience and lives of a cat. He's not about to die from sunburn.
No, but he will die. Pitt nodded at Giordino.
Did you make the switch okay?
Giordino grinned back. as smoothly as decanting wine. Brunon looked confused.
What are you talking about?
Tying Massard down out in the sun, explained Pitt. I wanted to make him thirsty.
Thirsty? I don't understand.
Al here emptied the bottles of mineral water and refilled them with water contaminated by chemicals leaking from the underground storage vault. It's called poetic justice. Giardino held up the empty bottles. He drank almost 3 liters of the stuff. As his internal organs disintegrate, his brain will be eaten away and he will go mad. Pitt's tone was ice cold, his face chiseled in stone.
There is no hope for him? A dazed Brunon asked.
Pitt shook his head. Eve Massard will die strapped to a bed, screaming to escape his torment. I only wish his victims could be there to see it.